Okay, thank you. I want to thank everyone who spoke today. The sad part of it is I agree with both sides, because both sides are right. My first thought when it was brought up to us about two schools, it was definitely, we couldn't afford it. The taxes were going to go up. People are going to move away more than they already are. You ride around, you see those houses are for sale. I'm not going to afford it. I mean, when you think of the way we're getting hit with all the other problems, I said, this is not going to work. And to have ride tie our hands to say that we can't even say, well, let's go for one school. We can compromise. That's what we should be doing, compromising. So we can say, all right, let's get one school. At least that way we can go forward. I know, I remember vets when we were putting tape on tanks and leaking roofs and all kinds of stuff. So I know our schools are in bad shape, and that shouldn't have happened. But for safety reasons, we can't stay in those schools because we keep pouring money down the drain by going to the old. So we need new schools. But to be put in a position where we have to get two schools, that really turns me off. I really feel bad because I'll say, well, why can't we just get the good programs that we are talking about for our education and still do it in the schools we have? That way, at least maybe we can get by a couple of years right now. Everybody knows I represent Oakland Beach. I mean, I got Buttonwoods and Sandy Lane, West Shore Road, where Vets is. I got a poor section on my side when Oakland Beach. Those people are not going to be able to stay where they are. Some of them have been there for years and years. And when they get hit with this tax increase, they're not going to be happy, and they're going to move. But the most important thing is our children. And if we have to build the schools to make their education be better, and if this passed, put it that way, because at first I could honestly say I definitely could not support this because I didn't want the taxpayers to get hit. But if it goes forward, I am definitely going to hold community meetings in my ward to educate those people the importance of having the new schools, but also getting the right numbers, like Councilman Lattiser said, to let everybody know where we stand going forward. So I don't know how it's going to go, but we'll see, you know, when we take the vote. But I appreciate everybody's comments, and again, I agreed with everybody said. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam President. I just want to remind the public that we've already had the public comment, so I'm allowing the council members to speak, to have their moment. Okay, so we asked the public, we gave the public first rights for the simple fact, no, sir, I'm going to allow the council to speak right now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Councilman McElroy.
Yes, we've heard a lot of comments tonight, both pro and con, on this resolution. They have all been reasoned comments, especially from each individual's point of view. I think everyone would agree the main topics are the schools are in bad shape. It would be very expensive to fix them. So what do we do? It's not like if we don't bond, everything is going to be taken care of. The bond will be paid off over 20 years. How much will we pay in maintenance for these schools over the course of 20 years? And one of the things is you might demonize RIDE, but those are the rules we're going by now. They're going to give us roughly up to $165 million to do this project. If we pass on it and we decide we don't want to do it, we do the maintenance for the next 20 years on our own. And then taxes will be raised also to pay for that maintenance. My feeling is the schools need it. It's up to the voters to decide. I will be supporting this resolution.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Gebhardt.
Thanks, Chairman. Whew, this is a big one. You know, I have, I got involved in the city council because I have two young children, one in Cedar Hill in first grade, one not quite there yet, but she will be eventually. And so I have to think about this from that lens. But at the same time, I've got a duty and an obligation to those who put me here to think about it through their shared lenses as well. So, you know, we spend a lot of time in this council talking about the challenges and making some of the decisions we have to from a budgeting and financial perspective based on decisions that have been made over many, many years. You know, we talk about legacy costs. We talk about the percentage of the budget that goes to pay for those versus what pays for what we're actually doing today. And unfortunately, that amount that goes to what we do today is minuscule in comparison to the total pie. So when you look at an item like this, where we've got financial projections here that I have on my screen that the finance director gave us, showing a best case scenario and a worst case scenario. If you look at 2027, in the best case scenario, a $3.5 million deficit, and in the worst case, a $50 million deficit. And you have to take a step back and say, "Wow, that's, you know, are we going to put the residents in the same position that we sit here and complain about?" But what's the alternative? People have an investment in this community. They own homes. They've raised their families here. They plan to continue to do that. And so if we leave them with schools that can't be accredited, if we leave them with schools that families look at and go through extraordinary means to send their kids to other schools. You know, I happen to live in a part of Warwick where a great many of my neighbors do not send their kids to the Warwick Public Schools. They have the ability to do so, and they've made a decision based on, you know, where the academics are at, where their impression of the teaching is at, and not in small part where the facilities and the sports and athletics facilities are at as well. And so this is a massive investment, but it's an investment that protects the investment that each and every one of us have made in this community. Because without schools, what do we have? You want to come and raise a family here? You want this to be a place where you can raise a family? You have to be able to send your kids to school. You have to be able to send them to a school that can accommodate modern learning, modern interaction, and that sets them up for a future. So if you asked me today to hand over a $350 million check, I don't know that I would vote yes. But what you're asking today is for my vote on whether we put this multi-staged process to its next step, which is to ask the voters, yes or no, do they support us moving to then the next step? Because when the voters vote, if they vote in the affirmative or if they vote in the negative, well, if they vote in the negative, it's over. But if they vote in the affirmative, it's still not done, right? Now we start to really sharpen the pencil and understand what are the interest rates going to be. Anyone who's bought a house recently or refinanced knows that what you can afford changes on a day-to-day basis, because it's a factor of what are the borrowing costs, what's happening in the market, do I have to do work on the house, can I afford to have that done. So if we get through a vote and the voters say, yes, keep working on this, then at that point, we'll have more certainty about what the bond rates are going to be. We'll have more certainty about what the construction costs are going to be. And then we'll be back here. And I'll tell you that after we go through an election season where schools are going to be a hot button item, all of us are going to be walking around, knocking on people's doors, and they're going to say, excuse me, Chairman Howe, I hear you want to spend $350 million of my money. Tell me more about that. And I am not, that is absolutely going to happen. It happened when we went around 2 years ago. People said, hey, I raised my kids here. They went to Tollgate. They went on to Harvard. They went to become a doctor. Today, I wouldn't send my kids to Tollgate. Well, that doesn't feel good. That's not what we want. That's not what we aspire for. But we also need to be financially responsible, but we still have the opportunity to better understand what's before us. The time is now to get the public input. That's the step we're at. After that, we need to get down to brass tacks. How much is it going to cost? What are the impacts going to be? We need to firm up some of these assumption scenarios. And then we really need to say, is a $50 million projected deficit reasonable? I don't think it is. So we need a way to address that. And some of it certainly is going to come to the taxpayers and to the tax burden, but there need to be other concessions as well. And I think that together, with a shared aim of providing a world-class education for our students, with wanting to preserve people's ability to stay in their home, with wanting to balance a budget each and every year, I think we can get there. So at this point, I am okay to put this forward to the voters, but I'm going to need a lot more clarity before I say yes to write the check. So thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Before I thank you, go around. All right. Councilman Lattice, sir, if you have something to state quickly, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to hear from Mr. Schaefer. I want to know what the tax rate will be on his best case and worst case scenario for fiscal years 24, 25, 26, and 27. Now, I'm looking at, again, best case scenario, 3.1 deficit in 24, 7 in 25, 5 in 26, and 3.5 in 27. Are we to assume that those are all cumulative, add them all up, and we're looking at somewhere around best case scenario by the year 2027? Will have burnt through $18 million. So what I want to know is, now, what will the tax rate be on your best case scenario for the next five fiscal years, and what is the tax rate going to be on your worst case scenario? Because I don't think the taxpayers should have the responsibility of doing the math to figure that out. We can raise taxes, again, round number, $9 million. If we go into a $50 million deficit, what's the tax rate going to be?
Well, I said earlier, I can't tell you that. We're going to be doing a reval as of this coming December 31st. Obviously, the values, especially in residential property, are going way up, so the tax rate will drop way down. I can tell you that $50 million is just under 20% of our what the total operating budget will be at that time, which is something that's a revenue need 20% higher than what we have right now. But the revenue need under the other scenario was insignificant. So that's the range that I'm talking about. But I can't tell you a rate because the rates won't be the same a year from now. All the values will change, and there'll be a debate over, because commercial property has not had the growth that residential property has, there'll be an important debate at that time, a year, 10 months from now, about how we're going to address that.
And we're still looking at hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars of unfunded liabilities just in healthcare costs alone that continues to grow by the millions yearly. So, and Mr. Chairman, I know that I believe it was back in March when we had a Zoom meeting when this item first came up. I don't have a problem with saying to people that my position has changed because of different circumstances or because I don't have the numbers that I think are imperative to have to make a sound financial decision. I don't have any problem doing that. We still, right now, as of this minute, we have no idea what those tax rates are going to be. The last 4 out of 5 budgets have been no tax increase budgets. And no one wants to have a tax increase. No one wants to raise taxes. But it's a focus of business. Your prices change, things go up, and you have to pass along those costs. As I've said numerous times, people don't get angry when you raise their taxes. They get really angry with what you do with the money that you've raised their taxes for. That's when they get really angry. I don't know what the tax liabilities, tax consequences are going to be. We don't have any clue whether we're building these schools for $350 million, $450 million, $400 million. We have no idea. We don't even know if we're going to get through the completion of building the schools before we have to go out and go to the voters and say, we got to come back to you because the well run dry and we've got to have a special election to raise money to finish these schools. There are too many, way too many unanswered questions that, in my opinion, from my 40 years experience in business, should have been addressed before we got to this point. And I had hoped they would. And I've met with numerous entities, people, and expressed that desire to have the numbers from everyone. And we don't have them. So for those reasons, as everyone has stated, we all would love to have new schools. We have elementary schools that are in probably, perhaps one of them, even worse shape than the high schools. There's a lot of things that need to get taken care of. And to build 2 new schools for a number that's unknown and a cost to the taxpayers that is not known and may be known when they go to the voting booth, doesn't make sense. So if you're really hellbound on doing this, then you know what? Why don't we propose an amendment to, and this is directed to the council solicitor, why don't we propose an amendment that will be mandatory to have on that ballot that the tax projections must be included in that ballot? We all say, oh, well, you know, everybody knows and you're going to know. Why don't we put it right on the ballot? If you approve this for $350, $400, $450, this is what your tax liabilities are going to be just in the next 5 years. Then no one can say, well, I didn't know. Mr. Solicitor, is that something that we can require? And is that something that we, if this council chooses to put that language in, and perhaps some other language that will, on the ballot, inform the taxpayers, the voters, of what their financial expenditures or expectancies are going to be if this passes, Can we demand that be put on the ballot? And are we guaranteed that it will be put on the ballot?
Thank you, Councilman. That's a multi-step question. I'll try and take an order. The capability question, certainly what you have before you is a resolution that would ask the assembly to move forward with putting this on the ballot. As an attachment or an exhibit to this particular provision, it provides sample legislation. These have been produced by bond council and are crafted to comply and make sure we don't run afoul of both the federal tax law as well as the reimbursement structures provided by the state. So there is a sensitivity into the drafting of these items. My other concern would be that as we've learned from a lengthy discussion here this evening, the specific language you're seeking to provide would be challenging at best to specify at this particular evening at this time. What you'd be asking the voters to provide that amendment language, as we've seen from the discussion, would be very difficult to craft in such specificity that the voters would know that is the exact question of how much it would or would not be. I think a lot of this evening's conversation has given us that indication that we do not know that answer. So I would find the amendment is very difficult to draft, and I'd be concerned about how it would impact the question as it relates to tax and reimbursement provisions.
Councilman, thank you. I'm just going to hold off now and go to Councilman Gebhardt, give him an opportunity, and then I will go to Councilman Sinapi.
Just briefly, and I'll give the finance director an opportunity to correct my math here, but we've been presented with two scenarios, one a best case and one a worst case.
Is it a question for the finance director?
It's not.
Oh, okay.
Unless I'm wrong, then it will be a question for the finance director, which have on each line some assumptions that are being used, right? Including state and federal aid, revenue, et cetera. But if you boil it down to its simplest, property taxes, which I think is where your question focuses, the best case scenario assumes a 3% compounding tax increase each year, 23, 24, 25, 26, and 27. So far, so good? Yes. For a cumulative increase of about 12.5% over those 5 years, leaving us still with a deficit, but relatively small deficit comparative to the worst case scenario. So that scenario with a 12.5% over 5 year tax increase leaves us with a $3.5 million deficit without touching any of the other assumptions. If you look to the worst case scenario, the assumption around tax increase is 0.75%, so 0.75% over each of the 5 years. Granted, more than we've done so far, in the last several budgets. But that leaves you with a 3% tax increase over those 5 years. So the window we've been given to look at this through is from the best case to the worst case. And so the range, I guess this is best case from the city's perspective, not necessarily the taxpayer's perspective, but the range is somewhere between 3 and 12.5%. Now take that with a grain of salt, because on every line in this forecast is an assumption. So as things change, as needs arise, those figures are going to change. But purely from a what the finance director has presented us with in terms of estimates around property taxes, I think that's what I would be most comfortable with thinking about this. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Sinapi.
So just the straightforward answer to Councilman Lattish's point, how much is the taxpayer going to be on the hook for? They're going to be on the hook for $186 million. It's just factory how much money. If we get reimbursed at the amount we're looking to get reimbursed at, though, bear in mind that right now, actively, the school department is still looking to get the reimbursement rate increased even higher. So even that amount isn't necessarily set in stone. But compare that to the alternative, which we basically would go back to renovation of the schools, mainly because we wouldn't have much of a choice at that point. It'll be without reimbursement. So you're looking at well over $100 million, if not $200 million, no reimbursement, or likely none, if any, especially given that Ryder already said no. So we could either spend probably close to the same, maybe even more, to fix buildings that Ryder thinks are not good enough for students. And Ryder's opinion, albeit mattering very little to me, even those who matter agree that the schools are in dire straits. Or we could get reimbursed, spend a similar amount, maybe even less if we're lucky, and get two new high schools. So at the end of the day, it's an easy decision from that outlook. Again, no one wants to have to make the decision in either direction and spend the money. I get it. But we don't really have an option at this point. And to say, well, I'm not going to because I don't want to, doesn't really fly. It's our responsibility. We have to do something. We can't do what councils in the distant past used to do and kick the can, and school departments of the distant past used to do and kick the can, which is how we got to where we are now in the first place, because as many, especially citizens here today know, all the bonds that have come through recently for the schools, fixing all these things all in quick succession, from the outside looking in, it's kind of weird that a city is fixing all their schools all at the same time. Like, how are they all falling apart at once? Well, they're not. They've been falling apart for decades. Just all these prior governmental bodies kicked the can down the road for a long, long time. And I refuse to be part of that.
Thank you. I see you, Councilman Lesser, but Councilman Ricks hasn't had a second opportunity to speak. And I'd like to say this before my colleagues speak. As you can tell, I waived a lot of the council rules this evening because this is a high dollar item of good importance. But I do ask that we keep now, we start concentrating our comments and on main topics. And I do want to just close out by giving the same request to the audience. Keep the topics very brief. We've been on this item for quite some time. So I'm going to go to Councilman Ricks, and then I'll go right back to you, Councilman Lattiser. Thank you.
I'll be brief. I think that Councilman Lattiser, he raises a good point. I think that it's important for the voters to be educated on the cost, on the impact, but I would defer to bond counsel on this. I think that we're paying bond counsel something like $650 or something like that per hour, some very high rate. And so this is what we pay her for advice on exactly how we phrase this in order to get it right legally with all the state, federal, et cetera, requirements. And with the with all of the questions about exactly how costs are calculated, certain levels of uncertainty, if we try to put in some specifics and then it turns out that, oh, we got a little too specific and that we were trying to get really precise, turns out that we were wrong, well, great. Now we have the ballots printed and it has wrong information on it, and what's the impact of that? So I think that the current proposed language as drafted by bond counsel, who we pay a lot of money to, which states authorizing the city of Warwick to issue not to exceed $350 million, et cetera, with a state housing aid reimbursement rate or state share ratio of not less than 45%, all of that language there, that is about as precise as we can really get it. And I think that with that kind of language in there, educated voters will take a quick look at that and say, $350 million. That's more than the city and school side combined annual budget. And so, especially in those months leading up to the election, and as we have all of these discussions, I think that this is going to prompt a lot of discussions, debates. People will become educated on this, as voters should be. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Lattiser, final points. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I think what's particularly concerning in recent comments is the assumption that these two schools will be built for $350 million and that we're going to be reimbursed 52% for a net cost of $186 million. I think that's extremely risky. To talk about percentages, with all due respect, that doesn't give me what the tax increase or the tax rate is going to be. If I look at worst case scenario of a $50 million deficit, I believe that translates into a $5 per thousand tax increase. We can only raise taxes 90 cents. To talk in percentages is not the same as telling people, here's what the potential cost could be. We do it every council meeting. We vote on budgets up to, spending authority up to. Those same things could be done on a ballot that says the tax liability could be up to. For me, I'm just going to get to the point. Given, more importantly, the information that I do not know, the information that I have not been provided, I am not going to be able to support this resolution because I am very, very concerned that we are absolutely putting the cart before the horse. We're making something or potentially voting on something to put it on the ballot. And between now and then, maybe we'll get them the numbers of what the taxes will be. We need to address how you want to pay or how we can pay for these schools that we need. And you're never going to get to that number until you want to grab and take hold of the real challenge. And that's how do you decrease the cost of running this city? Sure, we can frown, we can make a face, we can say whatever you want. At the end of the day, that's what you got. We've got costs that we cannot continue to pay for. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. So what I'm going to do, one moment, Mr. DiIorco. What I'm going to do is I'm going to open up to the audience. And what I do ask, what I respectfully ask, is I ask that if anyone has not made a comment that would like to make a comment, but I respectfully request your comments are precise to the point for value of time and for value of topic. So if there is anyone that has not had an opportunity to speak, please identify yourself.
Michelle Comar, Ward 1. And I so appreciate the comments from an experienced statesman. Thank you, Councilman Lattiser. And I'd like to say that, that I'm one of the informed public. I come to council meetings. I go to planning board meetings once in a while. But I can't compute the tax rate. This just looks like a big number to me. Two schools with a big price tag. And we heard Director Schaefer say, well, the city has flexibility. The city has reserves. What you're asking the taxpayers, do we have that same flexibility? Do we have reserves in our home budgets to pay for two schools? Plus on top of all the other liabilities which keep increasing our tax rate. And we haven't had a tax increase in a few years. That's a scary thing to me too, because we should be building up towards the needs that we have financially to support the city. And we're not supporting our city in this manner. So I would like to have in the ballot, and I agree with Councilman Lattiser, we need an amendment that has some kind of figure that the taxpayer can translate on what their burden is going to be to get what we want. If they want two schools, it's going to cost this much. There's one other question that I don't have a direct answer from any council person on, and it is, does the General Assembly need to approve a tax increase which is over the maximum tax increase? And is it for some expenses, or does it exclude the school bond?
Does the General Assembly approve City of Warwick tax increases?
Over or beyond the state maximum.
Please.
So I'll certainly defer to the finance director, but in the Exhibit A, the authorizing resolution that the legislature would be asked to pass prior to this going on the ballot, it specifically exempts this school bond from the other borrowing that the state imposes the limits on for communities. But I'll defer to the finance director if that wasn't clear.
Did you have an answer, Director?
Well, the State Department of Revenue can approve increases over the cap, which is not on the rate, it's on the levy, the total levy of the city, which is 4%. State Department of Revenue can approve that on, for two reasons. One, a loss in non-property tax revenue. So if your state aid drops $5 million, you get to increase your levy by that $5 million beyond the 4%. Or, and this might come into play here, who knows, is debt service increases that exceed 4% from one year to the next. But once the state approves that and they go through a formula, and then a new provision comes into play on approval of the tax levy, which means you need, and Billy and I have talked about that, I think at 80%, you need 8 out of 9 votes on a 9-member council. So that if you went over the cap and you got approval from the state, you would need 8 out of 9 votes. That's how it works. There's also the Auditor General can approve an emergency, and that's been very, I think only in the last 20 years, maybe twice, he's done that. So
thank you.
So as what I understand from that answer and from the answer I heard here is that the General Assembly does need to look at this and approve over the maximum tax increase by state law.
No, the Department of Revenue in the state. It's administrative.
Would that be a vote by the General Assembly, or how does that work? I know it's the Department of Tax Revenue. Through the chair, please.
So what the question was, how does that work? I think you just explained that, but
I mean, there's a long law all about it, and there's an administrator. And frankly, mm-hmm. I used to be the administrator 15 years ago, so I used to have to go through this. And it's the director of the revenue, after with the guidance from the Division of Municipal Finance, whether you meet the test. And it's rarely been used, but it has been used.
Yep, that's an extreme far case scenario.
So are we going to be, again, informing the public, are we going to be exceeding in any of the next 5 years the maximum allowable tax increase by state law?
I don't see how that's projectable. I just don't.
Yes, and what this all summarizes up to me and maybe other people in the audience is that we're not ready for this vote yet because we don't have the numbers. You don't have what the tax burden is going to be on the taxpayers who are paying this. You just can't say the city's paying for $350 million. It's on the taxpayers. And we don't have those numbers yet. I don't know how the public can be educated in this amount of time. Will those numbers be shored up by the November ballot? Or do we just let rumors circulate around and let people get frustrated that there is no number? And it's two schools, it's not one school. How do you expect this to be successful on the ballot without getting information to the voters?
The bond is, as written, is for $350 million with the intent of two schools with a at least 45% reimbursement from the state, at minimal 45% reimbursement from the state. How the program that that goes in has been mentioned numerous times in this council is as the projects come up, it is released by this council. So this council has the right to release certain portions of it. I can tell you that I don't think the intent is to release $350 million, shrug our shoulders and say, oh, well, because I as a taxpayer, the councilman as a taxpayer, the councilman as a taxpayer, everyone here as taxpayers don't want that burden on our houses too. As I sit down with my wife twice every month and go over our family budget. Mm-hmm. So it's going to, you know, there's a process, and that this bond is sending it to the State House to give the State House and this General Assembly to vote to give the citizens of Warwick who are taxpayers and also sit at their tables, the understanding that they're going to vote on a bond. And I think they understand that it's not money from a tree. It's money that has to be repaid, but it will be done responsibly because that's our job.
Thank you for this opportunity. There is not enough information to have this discussion at my table, at my house. I think this vote is premature to put it on the ballot for November. Thank you for your comments.
Thank you
for your time.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that has not spoken yet that would like to speak from the public? Mr. Durkle, if you wouldn't mind.
What was I going to say? Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, committee members. Thank you, Acting Council President. Thank you, councilmen and women. I just want to sum up my perspective for the public. When this issue, I come to these meetings often, as you well know. Some of you to your chagrin, but others, you know, like to see me here. I found out about this issue by a councilman reaching out to me and asking my opinion. That's how I started. That was only a few months ago. So I believe the residents of this city are ill-informed, uninformed. And I believe as elected officials, you are leaders. You lead us, and you should be sending the information out to us so we can disseminate it amongst ourselves and say, yes, this is a good thing. Well, no, this is not a good thing. Convince me this is good, and give us the information. We don't have the ability to go out and gather the information like you people can. As far as right is concerned, well, the public will support that. We mentioned that to the council members. A few council members, tie us into the email. Send us copies of the emails. We'll respond. I have hundreds of people in my email, in my address book, hundreds. So we can be an asset as well as a liability. So again, we want to be part of this. Everyone in here, I don't think there isn't a person in here that would not vote for new schools. I really believe that deep down inside, and myself included. But prove to me, number one, the cost, what it's going to cost us, so I don't get shell shock or I don't, you know, start to think about committing suicide, you know, when I've got to pay my taxes. Let us know up front. Let us know the increase in education, what this is going to bring us for a ballot. I don't want to know about bricks or cement blocks. I don't want to know about that. I want to know how we're going to improve the quality of education. Councilman Gephardt's got 200 children that's going into the system. He wants to know how this education, quality of education, is going to improve. And I think most of us here want to know that information as well. So I, from the public, convince me and change my mind. And I will change my mind. But you're our leaders, and you've got to give us that information. Thank you.
Thank you. Please. Very briefly.
Very briefly. As I said earlier, the district already has curriculum in place to improve education. When kids walk into a brand new building, they're going to step up their game. They're going to want to do well. And I just want to point out, which I forgot to mention before, some of our fellow cities in the state have already approved multi-million dollar bonds. Johnston just approved a $215 million bond. East Providence approved $193 million. They have a brand new school now and a brand new revitalized city and school department. Warwick can't sit back while other districts in this state improve their physical plants. We're going to continue to lose our students because the other districts have bright, shiny new buildings. Now is the time when the state is putting money up to reimburse, even if it's not at 50%, it's not 100%, they're going to give us back money to do this. We need to do it now. The kids can't wait any longer. Our buildings can't wait any longer. And this education system can't wait any longer. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman.
Councilman Ferrier.
Thank you. I move favorable.
Mr. Chairman, I was asking for recognition.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I was asking for recognition. There's one very important point that I would like to make about a stadium that was in the Boston Globe just very recently. I'm just going to read it to you.
Councilman,
excuse me.
If I may, I've gone around, give the council members numerous opportunities to speak. Uh-huh. We've brought the topics up. I've given the public numerous times to speak. I'm just going to ask, if you don't mind, very, very briefly, please.
Very briefly. Here it
Thank
is.
You.
So the Tidewater Landing Soccer, I'm reading from the actual article in the Globe, so forgive me. The Tidewater Landing Soccer Stadium project in Pawtucket is going to be a lot more expensive than planned, and the state is considering a request from the city and the developer to provide $30 million more in funding, despite previous assurances to the contrary. The city of Pawtucket and the developer, Fortuna Partners, announced on Friday that the cost to build a USL Champion Stadium, this is a stadium now we're talking about, we're not talking about $350 million buildings, two schools, on the banks of the Seekonk River had increased by about $40 million. That's nearly a 50% increase from a budget of $83 million to an expected budget of $124 million. The city and the developer blame unprecedented cost inflation. This is what I've been speaking about for
Understood.
Months. And all of these numbers that everyone's throwing around is assuming we're going to come in at $350 million. I think you're in for a surprise. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Foley.
Thank you. I move favorable action on PCR 6722.
A second.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. I'm going to call a recess on the committee, Madam President. Thank you. Until for 5 minutes, we'll return. It's 8:53. We'll return at 8:58. Thank you. The time is now 8:58. That's right. The Finance Committee is out of recess. We respectfully ask all discussion exit the city council chambers and go to the foyer. Second item on the agenda for the Warwick Finance Committee is PCR 46-22, a resolution memorializing the General Assembly to enact legislation authorizing the City of Warwick to issue not to exceed $5 million general obligation bonds, notes, and other evidences of indebtedness to finance the acquisition and development of open space in the city. This was docketed by Councilman Ricks.
Thank you, Chair. I think that the resolution largely speaks for itself. We've had extended discussion on the Warwick Land Trust. I'll defer further comments. For now, I would respectfully request that the committee open discussion and consider for favorable action.
Thank you, Councilman. If there could be a representative from the Warwick Trust. Could you identify yourself and your position within the trust, please?
Ward 4, I'm the chairman of the land trust.
Thank you. Ms. Daring, I'm just going to get right to the logistics of this. Was there a discussion and an official vote within the land trust on this bond?
Yes, there was.
Do you have, did not receive any type of communication that the land trust had a committee vote on the $5 million. I remember when it was first talked about.
We did a $5 million vote and we did a $15 million vote. When we realized that nobody was going to go for the $15 million on the council, we decided to have one for the $5 million. We had it actually twice.
Okay.
So those are in our minutes and those are open to the public.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I do have other members of the land trust that are here if you need to speak.
Thank you. Excellent. And what was the vote of the committee?
Unanimous.
It was a unanimous vote?
Unanimous. One person abstained, mm-hmm. but then she came back and said she was for it. So.
Thank you.
Okay.
Any questions for members of the committee? Councilman Gebhardt.
Hi, Ms. Dart.
Hi, Benny.
Nice to see you. So can you talk to us a little bit about what the goals are for this, for these funds?
Sure. If I could just give you some information. We've been working on these bonds now since April of last year. And we've been trying to get it before the council and the mayor since April of last year. We've sent out many numerous emails of which have not been responded to. And then the request was made to the mayor through Councilman President McAllister asking for a meeting. And they said that they didn't want us to have one yet. And they only wanted us to go in with a councilman as well. I did fill out a long questionnaire from Councilman McAllister. And because he asked me specific questions and I answered him within 2 days and gave him all of the information and he still denied me the opportunity to go to the mayor and ask him these questions. So what we were trying to do is to get a bond to purchase or get conservation easements to preserve open space within Warwick. There is a lot of property within the city that is going to developers and a lot of these properties are forests. And we're trying very hard to keep the forests intact. And we also don't want to tread on the waterways. But this is we have very delicate properties that we're trying to keep. They're very condensed forests. They're very lucrative. And we do not want to see them taken down. The development on these would literally shred the forests. I did want to point out to you that the $5 billion that we have is to protect the open space. It's not to do any construction. We would preserve it. We would encourage trails. We would encourage science classes to come in and work with this, with the land. We can also get grants further down the road to help with the scientific research because a lot of the trees that are in these forests are old growth trees. But these are well worth preserving, and you already have scientists that are going in to see these trees to make scientific judgments. We also wanted to comment that we have landowners right now that would like to sell their property, and there's also conservation easements that they're asking for, but there are some people who definitely want to sell. In order for us to purchase these properties or to even get anywhere close, we need to have an appraisal. The land trust only operates with $400 a year. That money is used to go to seminars, but we don't have money to do appraisals. If we had an appraisal, we would get an idea about what the land is worth, and then we could also do deed searches. We could also do surveys and get the information that we need to make an informed decision. And I think it's important for everybody to know the land trust only recommends. We do not make the purchase. The planning department makes the decisions. They are the ones that say, I like that property. Let's go for it. or I don't like that property. I don't think that's a good decision. So I want to make that very clear. We, the land trust, have gone after 32 lots already. And I did that with writing grants and getting matching funds. And it took us 6 years to get that land cleared through once we had our money. But I never touched one dime. The city did everything. And the appraisals were done by the city. And the deeds were done. And we came within budget, by the way. We also got commendation from the state and the DEM because we did such a fantastic job in writing our grants that we had high commendation from all of them and saying, apply again. But when it took us so long to submit our grants and to have our final work done because it was being held up by some paperwork that was done within the city, they kind of like hesitated and saying, don't come to us right away. Let's take a breath here. So I just wanted to say that if we get $5 million in a grant, you don't spend the $5 million all at once. You only spend what you need. So if it says, if we only have a need for $2 million in property, we would go for $2 million. And that would also cover the costs of the appraisals, surveys, and deeds, and the searches. If you do $5 million, if I did $2 million, it would be about $8 a year per household. And I'm saying per household. I'm not even going into the other commercial properties and stuff. This is just household. I've run so many numbers now that I'm silly. But I can tell you if we did go for all 50 million, I mean 5 million, excuse me, I'd love 50 million, it's $13.40 a year per household. And I don't think that that's very much money when you're considering spending, I think it's 70 times more for a school budget. This is nothing. This is a drop in the bucket. And you're saving open space. You're keeping forests preserved. You're keeping land preserved for people to use for other sources. And we would never build on it. I just ask you to please pass it and let's get it to the State House and let them put it on our ballot for the voters to decide.
Ms. Derrick, a quick follow-up question. Sorry to interrupt your applause. The projects that you are talking about, the six that were completed, do you know an approximate cost to acquire those properties and what we
spent? I have not had an appraisal done on any of these properties, and so I would be wrong to give a number. I can say what the city has appraised at, but then again, that's wrong too. I have one piece of property that had a developer come in and offer $20 million for it. I'm not going to spend $20 million. It's not worth it. But then again, I'm not the appraiser, and I have to call in a professional. And so the city would do that. I would not do it.
So during the budget hearing, I don't think you were here, but I'm sure you've watched it or seen it since. We attempted to direct some money specifically into the land trust budget, but there was some hesitation in the administration that, you know, the planning department, it stands out of veil to support in these deed research and surveying processes. So I guess the question that I have is, as we've been doing all this research, and there's been several members of the community been very involved in looking into past and looking into current. So one of the things that we discovered was that there is currently $2 million open, a little over $2 million, 2.1, I think, mm-hmm. Open on some past bonds. And so, you know, I'm a big fan and a big supporter of preserving the open space, what we have left. But at the same time, we can't operate with tunnel vision here. And we just decided well, we have just made a recommendation on this committee to put a very large ballot measure on the ballot for the voters to chew on and think about. And so what I want to understand from you is you have $2 million accessible today. Do you have more than $2 million worth of projects
Yes.
that you think you could act on
Yes.
within the next 2 years?
Yes. Yes. May I just speak about that $2.178 million? I've asked for it.
Sure.
I've asked to have it released, and I have had no responses from in my emails nor my phone calls. I've made phone calls and I've sent emails. I don't know how many more I can do. I've done over 50 emails, and I've made numerous phone calls, and there are some people that just don't want to give up the power to the land trust to make a purchase of land when they want to see development versus the saving of the land.